gentlemen, and welcome to the Andy Finn Show. I'm Andy Finn, the Finn Man, and for the next hour, you're in Finland. Today is March 3rd, 2008, and there is a lot happening in the world. This is the day on March 3rd in 1845 that the Congress passed legislation for the first time overriding a president's veto. Can you believe it took 55 years or something to overcome the president with the first veto? It's also the day that Florida became a state in 1845. Has it caused us trouble since? Not all the time, just in election years these days. And the action's not in Florida this week. The action tomorrow is in Texas and Ohio, along with Rhode Island, and I guess it's Vermont. A couple of smaller states and a couple of bigger states. And we'll get to the election a little later, but I always start with a few of the news stories that have been in the news in the last week. And before we get to elections, I want to take up some of the silly things that have been said on the air in the last week. Most of the silly things, I'm sorry to say, come from the right side of the political spectrum, in my humble opinion. And you wouldn't be listening if you didn't agree, or if you weren't willing to at least entertain the thought that maybe people on the left aren't a bunch of lunatic, America-hating losers. Anyway, one of the big news stories of the last week was about Prince Harry. Prince Harry has spent the last 10 weeks in Afghanistan as a soldier. If you remember, this story goes back a few months. He wanted to go to Afghanistan, and the British decided that that wouldn't be a good idea, that he would become a target, a high-profile target, and it would be to the disadvantage of his men, and it would harm operations. Well, it turns out he wanted to go bad enough, and his grandmother, the Queen, approved it, and so they arranged for him to go in secret, and the press, who figured out he wasn't around, were asked to keep mum about it, and so they did, and for 10 weeks, Prince Harry was over there doing the country's business during the Afghan war and being a regular soldier. In one quotation that he had when he came out, he said, "I haven't had a shower in 4 days. I haven't had a chance to change my clothes. I feel just like a regular person, a regular soldier." And that's the experience he was looking for. But it finally got leaked, and it wasn't British press that leaked it. They were all pretty good. As much as the tabloids would love to have gone to press with that story, any one of them would love to have had the headlines, American blogger and pseudo-journalist Matt Drudge broke the story, because Drudge can't keep a secret. He believes that if we find something out like that, we must tell everyone. You'll notice the New York Times didn't break this story, folks. Unlike the important stories they break, where they feel it's important to go public, the public needs to know things like that we are running a ring of secret prisons around the world, or that we are tapping the phone lines of citizens or collecting the email of private citizens, American citizens. The New York Times believes we should know those things, and of course they take a lot of criticism from the right for leaking that information. But regardless of what you think of your position and what your position is on those issues, you have to admit that those are issues you could make the argument the public should know what their country is doing. With Prince Harry being in Afghanistan, I don't see any newsworthiness there to speak of. And so, anyway, Drudge broke the news, and the British got Harry out of there. So his tour in Afghanistan is over, and I doubt if he'll be able to repeat that. There was a very interesting article in the Washington Post this morning, and it's the history of the Golden Gate Bridge and the issue of suicides. Now, you may have heard over the years that people jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and commit suicide. And very few people survive it. I forget what percentage it is. But basically, what the Post did was it compared, first of all, it compared different places where people have jumped from different structures. And it turns out that there are many structures from which people jump to their death, but the Golden Gate Bridge is the granddaddy of them all. Get this. Since 1937, when it was opened, 1,269 people have jumped. By contrast, only 350 people have jumped from the Eiffel Tower, and that's been open since 1889. So it's been open conservatively, well, not quite twice as long. Almost twice as long, about a quarter to a third the number of suicides. Same with the Aurora Bridge in Seattle. That's been open since 1932. It's only had a little over 200 suicides. And there's a few other places like this. Now, one of the problems with the Golden Gate Bridge is there's a pedestrian walkway across it, so people can walk across the bridge, and there isn't a particularly high retaining wall or net or anything to keep people from jumping. And they could install those, and they never have before. So the Post article goes on to point out that we know quite a bit about the people who are thinking of jumping. For example, there was a study done in 1973 by in a journal by a professor that looked at the people who had been prevented from jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge in the first, well, let's say, first 35 years of its existence. 515 people had been planning to jump, and they were stopped by somebody else. And he went back and interviewed them. He went back to look at how they died or what their status was. And 94% of them were either still alive or had died of natural causes. Only 25 people out of 515 went on to commit suicide. And 7 returned to the Golden Gate Bridge. So basically, what that tells us is that suicide is an acute phenomenon, that people have a severe depression or a crisis, and they think about ending it, but if they can be talked down, as it were, chances are they'll go on to, have a productive life. They won't go on and commit suicide. Also, it turns out that if you build barriers, it does stop people. So they've had bridges and other places where people kill themselves, and then they erect a suicide barrier, and it drops those in at least in half, and in some cases cuts them out completely. So it's just an interesting aside about the Golden Gate Bridge, and more people jump off of that than any other structure in America. But it's just interesting the way that plays out. Let me move on. This is a little bit on politics, but it turns out that Dennis Kucinich, you may remember him as the liberal, I want to say firebrand, but he's a little too meek. Not meek, but he's a little too, I don't know what the right word is for Kucinich. He's a man of slight build, let's say. He's a little too mousy to be considered a firebrand, but he has some pretty strong opinions. For example, he believes we should be impeaching Dick Cheney, and you have to start with Cheney because you don't want to impeach Bush and then put Cheney in office. So he introduced articles of impeachment against Dick Cheney, and he takes a lot of very liberal positions. And, of course, he didn't get the nomination, but he's the kind of guy that would have fought on to make a point about politics in this country and about liberal principles, except that it turns out he's being challenged for his House seat. He represents a district in the Cleveland area, and some Democrats are fed up, including a city councilman by the name of Joe Simperman, and they plan to take his House seat away if they can in the Democratic primary. So we shall see what happens. But so Kucinich has aborted or finished his presidential campaign, and he's gone back home to raise money and to run for re-election in his seat. I'm not a big fan of Kucinich. If he gets beat, that's fine with me, because there is something quixotic about a congressman in his position running for president. You know, it takes a lot of nerve to run for president. The ego that it takes. People talk about how ambitious various people are, that Hillary Clinton is ambitious. Now they say that Barack Obama is extremely ambitious, you know, a young man thinking he can be president. I got news for you. Nobody gets the presidency without being ambitious. The people that run, they self-select. So we don't get to choose and say, you know, I think so-and-so would make a good president. That person is probably too smart to be president. Colin Powell was regarded as possibly a good choice. Democrats wanted, why am I drawing a blank on his name, wanted Mario Cuomo to run, and he didn't. And in fact, rather than saying, gee, I guess they're not that ambitious, or they'd rather have a quiet life, people say, I wonder if there's a skeleton in their closets. Just interesting the way we think about these things. Anyway, Kucinich, we'll see whether or not he gets his own Democratic nomination, and we'll go from there. An aide to President Bush has resigned over charges of plagiarism. And interestingly, his name is Tim, I guess it's pronounced Gogian. He published some articles. He's a special assistant to President Bush, and he published some articles, some columns in the Fort Wayne, Indiana, New Sentinel, and he lifted whole sections from other places, let's just put it that way, and claimed it as his own. So unlike the recent example where Barack Obama was accused of plagiarism, where he lifted phrases out of a speech of a friend who said, hey, you should use this Wetterwick, it'll help you, and then he used it, unlike that, this is a serious charge of plagiarism. You know, plagiarism is typically in writing, although Joe Biden got caught using the speeches of sections of a speech from Neil Kinnock, a member of the British Parliament, back in the 1988 campaign, and it ended Joe Biden's campaign in that year. Anyway, that's it on that story. I don't think I'm going to go into this. There's a number of things in international circles. The Danish Prime Minister is visiting the Bush Ranch this week, and with a little bit of inconvenient truth, he is pushing for a global pact on climate change. I'm sure the President will listen earnestly and then continue to have the U.S. not lead the world and not take action on the issue. In Russia, Vladimir Putin's successor has been chosen. The fellow's name is Medvedev. It's Medved with EV on the end. And, of course, if Democrats were like Republicans, they would start mocking Michael Medved with the name of this particular commie. He's not strictly speaking a commie, but he's friend of Putin, so he might be a KGB-er. Anyway, he is expected to be a figurehead. Putin's not going to give up power. Putin is going to stay right where he is, and despite the fact that George Bush attempted to look into his soul, Putin is still KGB, and that's the way he acts. An interesting event going on in Iraq, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the Iranian president, is in Iraq for a state visit, I don't know if they call it a state visit, and he's being welcomed with open arms, and he's being given the red carpet treatment, and he is attracting attention and being cheered by the crowds. Now, what's interesting about that is that our leaders have to sneak in and out of Iraq for fear of assassination. Maybe they wouldn't be assassinated, I don't know, but everybody talks about the surges working and how much progress we're making and all of that. My sign of progress will be when a member of the cabinet or the president or vice president can fly into Baghdad and not come in under cover of night, come in for an announced visit. So far, we haven't been able to do that. But Ahmadinejad can do it. It's hard to understand that part of the world, but that's one battle we are losing. And let's see. Oh, North Korea's in the news this week, in part because the New York Philharmonic traveled there and gave a concert. And a lot of people said, oh, we shouldn't be going there. We shouldn't be dignifying this. No, no. You have to understand, anytime you open up channels of communication, it helps free people. And so Nixon opened the path to China, and the cultural, the educational, the athletic interactions we've had with China have all helped us. And for some reason, people can't quite understand that when it comes to Cuba and when it comes to North Korea. And with that, I think I will cap it, and we will take a short break, and the Andy Finn Show will be back right after this.